What's going up, you guys? Welcome back to the Infinity Box Rewatch. I'm your Infinity Boy, Anthony, alongside your Boxman, Brian. Brian, we're back. What's going on?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. We're hanging out here. We just saw The Eternals, the newest Marvel movie, only in theaters. So we decided to come back to talk about it with you, as you know how we do here on the podcast. So welcome to the Eternals pod. But first, Brian, there's news in the news.
Hell yeah.
Sony Marvel Verse. Is that what we're calling it?
It's so complicated. I hate it.
It sucks so much that Sony's such a little bitch and they won't just take their billions of dollars. How much do you think Marvel would have to offer them for them to stop making these stupid fucking movies?
Insert Mean Girls. The limit does not exist.
Okay. I assume so. They want to keep Spider-Man. If they end up making their own Spider-Man movies again in the future, it'll obviously pay more than if Marvel were to just give them one lump sum of, say, $1 billion or whatever. But it's fucking annoying that they're doing these other fucking movies. And I say that, Brian, as I'm about to praise the new Morbius trailer.
Well, here's the thing. It's not like we're not saying the movies are all trash. It's just what exactly the relationship is.
It hurts my brain.
Does not require this much thought.
It hurts my brain. That's my main part.
And because, like, same characters are in both, but we don't know if the other, like, we're always leaning MCU. It's like, oh, well, they show up in the MCU as if this thing is an offshoot. But, like, it's got some big movies.
So, if you haven't seen the new Morbius trailer, it dropped this week. It was crazy. It had references to the MCU, because it's got Vulture from the MCU in it. It had references to Venom. He says he's Venom, so people know the Venom universe. There's Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man on a wall, but it says Murderer on it. So is that Tom Holland and they just drew it as Tobey Spider-Man? That's weird. The Oscorp symbol is the same Oscorp symbol as the Amazing Spider-Man, as Andrew's world. It's so confusing. And I loved the actual, like, Leto vampire part of the trailer, but the world confused me. Let me tell you. The content of the trailer from, like, the vampire Morbius side, I thought was really cool. And I was like, oh, I would like to see this movie. But then, like, they drop in all these little, like, Easter eggs, and it's like, where is this movie taking place? You're literally exploding my brain with all this different stuff. And it's wild. It's crazy.
And the thing is, like, I'm thinking, all right, could this all be one thing one day? Because you got all these different Spider-Man references,
yeah,
and we're, what, a couple weeks away from a movie with all the Spider-Men.
Yeah, the Spider-Man.
So there could be a connection, and then we'll get to it later. But Morbius is a vampire. We know they're doing Blade, Vampire Hunter movie.
Yep.
Is that going to connect?
It could.
It should.
Yeah.
I mean, Blade and Morbius kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah. See, the only thing why it's weird to me is because, like, Feige, like, always would dip his hand, and he has nothing to do with these Venom movies. He has nothing to do with this Morbius movie, and it's just like, does he trust them?
But, like, you'd think if they're writing these movies and putting them out, I mean, they all have to talk, right? Like, he's got to see what they're doing.
What,
like,
I read and heard was that, I believe it was from Andy Serkis, was that for the post-credit of Venom, like, Marvel Studios was very involved in that, the filming of that scene and whatnot. But, like, everything else, they weren't. So,
yeah, because, like, what if Feige had planned long-term to use Vulture again? I mean, whatever Vulture's doing in this Morbius movie, he has to be cool with.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I think.
Maybe he was, like, secretly a part of Vulture, of Morbius. Yeah, you're right, I don't know.
I hope so. Otherwise, they just kill Vulture, and then he's like, well, fuck, I didn't know you were going to kill him.
Yeah.
Like, they have to be talking.
And, like, Sony could just be like, fuck you, Vulture's our character, so we get to use him whenever we want.
I hate it.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's absolutely insane.
It's almost like, it's exactly what we hate about DC. We don't know who's connected to what.
Yeah. And it's all.
And we thought Marvel had this shit under control.
It's all Sony's fault.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, crazy times. I
think good trailer, though. I'm
definitely going to see this movie in theater. Like, unlike Venom 2, where I was like, I will eventually see this movie, I will probably seek out Morbius.
Yes. Yeah. Morbius looks good.
Yeah, it does. Like, at its roots, it looks like a good, fun movie. Leto looked very, very good as, I was shocked how good he looked as Morbius in the trailer.
Oh, I'd be scared if that ran into my room.
Yeah, that was. But, yeah, it was dope. I thought it was pretty cool. And yeah, Morbius. It's sometime next year, right? January, February. It's early, right?
Isn't yeah, it? I believe we gave away a Morbius Funko once upon a time.
I think we did. Let me see.
Because who cares about Morbius? But now we do.
Let's see. Just real quick. Morbius film. It is coming out. Yeah, January 28th.
Yeah.
So, soon. Interesting. Okay. I'm interested.
Yeah.
I'm very interested. With that said, anything else, Brian? Did anything jumping up at you, or you want to jump right into this Eternals film?
Let's jump into it.
Yeah, let's do it. Brian, this is it's hard to believe. This is the 26th film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Whew.
Wild.
What?
It's directed by Chloe Zhao, the Academy Award winning director. What did she make that you hated?
Nomadland. My God, it's the best nap of my life.
I saw that they were so yeah. That, obviously, it was Academy Award stuff. So Brian had to see it, but I remember seeing because it was on Hulu too. Like it was during the pandemic, so you could also watch it on Hulu. You didn't have to go to the theater, and the trailer looked very bad. So I never
yes,
saw it.
And it looked awful, and everywhere it was like this movie incredible. So it was on. You know, free one night. I'm like, all right, whatever. I got some work to do. I'll throw this movie on. Holy fuck. And then when reports came out about Eternals being kind of slow, I was like, yeah, that tracks.
Yeah.
Nomadland was just a woman driving in an RV for 2.5 hours and some conversation she has along the way.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't look interesting to me at all. Are you ready to hear who's in this movie, Brian? Because it's a pretty cool cast. I liked the cast a lot.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
So, main eventing here, we have Gemma Chan as Cersei.
Yeah, I liked her.
She's new to me. I thought she was great. Was interesting to hear all the people from Game of Thrones that in this movie keep saying Cersei. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
It was jarring if you've watched that show. Speaking of Game of Thrones, Richard Madden was Icarus, Will Robb Stark. Angelina Jolie was Thena. I thought she did a great job. I thought she was great as Thena in this movie.
She was in it less than I thought she'd be.
Yeah, her, Salma Hayek, Kit Harington, they were all in it way less than I thought they were going to be, because I thought those were like the main people from this movie.
Yeah.
But it was not. But when she was in there, man, I thought she was great. And I was kind of like, iffy on the casting of her. I was like, she's definitely Jonathan is gonna be a superhero at that however old she is now.
Yeah.
First of all, she's in the United Nations. Wow, did not know that. She's 46, which well, is not
that a, makes sense.
I figured she was in her 50s, so honestly. Wow.
Yeah.
But no, she's 46. I was like, really gonna cast Angelina Jolie as a superhero. But she did a great job. I thought she was really good. She really killed it as Thena. Salma Hayek was Ajax.
And I saw this morning she has signed on for multiple Marvel films.
Really? Okay. Because she's kind of, I would have said they wrapped up her story in this movie.
Yep.
But, yeah, okay. I have no problems with Salma Hayek. I thought she was good, too.
Yeah, she's fine.
Previously, as said, Kit Harington was Dane Whitman. He was a human that is dating Cersei in the movie. He's not a Eternal.
No, which I truly thought he was.
Yeah.
Up until recently.
Yeah. I knew because last night we drove through, right before the movie, we drove through McDonald's to get the Eternals Happy Meal.
Nice.
Because Catherine wanted one of the toys. And got Ajax, by the way. She was not happy when she died right away. She's like, this is the toy that I got? but yeah, he was not on there. And I was like, oh yeah, like he's someone else.
Yep.
Still thought he was gonna be in this movie more. Kumail Nanjiani, my boy, was Kingo. Loved him.
goat. Like the Bollywood.
Leah McHugh was Sprite.
She was three when Iron Man came out.
That's crazy. but she was great in this movie. She was good. My boy Paperboy, Brian Tenner, Tyree Henry was Fastos.
Love Fastos.
Oh, he was. Dude, Brian Tyree Henry is one of the best actors like of our lifetime, I'm gonna say.
He's pretty great.
Yeah. Lauren Ridloff was Makari, who I very much enjoyed. I thought they did her like speed flash stuff really, really good.
Yeah, she was a favorite for me.
Yeah. Barry Keoghan was Druig, who is a very interesting character in this movie.
He kind of annoyed me, and then he was kind of cool. I don't know how I feel about him.
At first, when we'll get into it, but he like leads to the breakup of the Eternals, and then I'm like, what a piece of shit! Like, fucking, just let them kill each other. And then I'm like, oh,
yeah,
he's right. Probably my one of my favorite like low key Eternals was Donnelly as Gilgamesh. I just liked the way he carried himself.
He's cool.
He was just so like, yeah, I'm fucking Gilgamesh, bro.
Yeah, I liked him. He was a badass.
Yeah, he was pretty cool. And the star of the show was Harish Patel as Karan, Kingo's manager.
The star of the show.
Star of the fucking show, bro.
I've seen him in other stuff.
He's amazing. He should be in everything. what else? We have the main deviant was voiced by Bill Skarsgård. Didn't realize that. Hmm.
Yeah.
David Kay was Arishem, the judge, which is the celestial that was in control of these Eternals. What else? I hate when they put it in a paragraph form of who was in this movie.
It is annoying.
Yeah. Fastos' son and husband, they were cool. Villager. I won't get into that because those are spoilers. We'll do that at the end. Yeah, so the rest of the spoilers. Okay, so that's basically the cast. Yeah, you got your 10 Eternals, Dane Whitman, and the bad guys, the Eternals.
Pretty much. That sums it up.
Yeah. So, Brian, so we'll do this a little bit differently, right? We won't do it how we usually. We'll just kind of go through the movie as it happens. This movie's kind of all over the place. So they set you up with some exposition. You get a little Star Wars scrolly text, which is cool.
Yeah, very Star Wars.
So basically, how would you explain it? So the Celestials are basically the gods. There's a lot of them.
Yep.
And they created the worlds, you know. I would say they created the planets, right?
Yes.
And
they're the gods.
Yes, and they created the Eternals to watch over the humans of the planet while they develop, and to also kill any deviants that may, you know, get in the way of killing humans.
They yeah, I was going to say get in the way.
Yeah. So basically they're to help the humans as they start up this new world, and also kill any deviants that are on the planet. So that's like the little scrolly text that you get.
Yeah, I was just trying to pull it up, but it's not online yet.
Yeah, I didn't see any of the scrolly text. So that's your little introduction, and then you get to see them come to the planet Earth. These are the Earth Eternals. There's obviously other Eternals for other planets and such like that that inhibit life. And you see them, I believe they start in 5000 BC. They defeat their first deviant on Earth. And they help the people there and whatnot.
And it's like you kind of have to remind yourself of their job a few times while you're watching.
Yeah.
Like they can save people and they can step in if there's what they're saving them from is deviants.
Yes.
If anyone else comes to mess shit up, like Thanos or, you know, yes, Mickey Rourke or whatever.
Yes, they mention this in the film. They're like, well, why don't you help with anything other than deviants?
And
like,
just deviants.
We're not supposed to.
Yeah, just deviants.
Deviants, yes.
Otherwise, just gotta chill and watch people kill each other.
Yeah, help a little bit during the like earlier times of Earth, but that's about it.
And allegedly, they killed them all. Or so they thought.
Yeah, so you go back and forth between, you know, in the earlier scenes, Macedonia, Babylon. There was other places where they went.
Yeah, I forget all of them. Yeah, they olden civilizations, yeah. And some more recent.
They build up these places. Ajak talks to the Celestial. You see Arishem a bunch.
Ajak has this way to talk to Arishem.
Ajak is the leader. She talks to the Celestial. She leads the group.
She's kind of like Jesus and the rest are the apostles.
Yeah, I would say because she heals. That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So let's just run through real quick. So you got Ajak. Ajak, her power, like, they're all powerful, I would say, where they can, like, take a hit and they can fight and stuff like that. But they have specific powers where I would say Ajak is a healing, right? Self-healing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would say Thena has these cool sword, shield, like, dagger things that are like kind of
I think they said her weapons are made out of energy, which she can just conjure.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah,
kind of lame. That's probably the last one I'd pick, but she can fight.
Yeah, she can fight. Icarus was basically Superman. He flew and had laser beams in his eyes.
Yep.
Cersei could change things. So like if something is about to fall on you, she could change it to flower petals or sand or water or sand, and she's really just she thinks it's more simple than it is, her powers.
Hers actually is kind of lame now that I think about it.
I mean, but not really when you think about it.
Well, at the end, yes, it gets better.
She made it very simple for herself, where she would just change things into, you know, water or rocks
to save people mostly. Yeah.
Kingo just got handguns, like those.
Yeah, those are cool.
Yeah. Sprite is an illusionist. She creates illusions. Yeah. Fastos is a builder. He could very easily just take something and create something out of it. Like in one of these old scenes from, like, say Babylon or whatever, he creates the world's first engine, and they're like, these people are not fucking ready for an engine, Fastos.
Yeah. It's like, they just got the wheel.
Yeah, he's like, fine, here's a plow. They can plow things with it.
Yep.
Makari was super speed. She got the Flash.
Yep.
I liked her a lot. They did cool stuff with her. Druig is can manipulate minds.
Yeah, Druig's awesome.
Yeah, which is super cool. And Gilgamesh he has these cool, like, hand fists.
Yeah, it's like stronger than anyone else can punch.
Yes.
Really.
It says here that he's the strongest Eternal. I believe it.
I guess physically.
Yeah, and he's just very cool. He had hand super fists, basically.
Yeah.
So those are all the powers. I think the main thing here from the backstory is that Druig does not like watching the humans fight in the war because he could stop it, right?
Yeah, he can just control them and have them stop fighting, and he's like, why don't we do that?
Yeah, he's like, we should just always be stopping them from fighting. And they're like, no, they have to have their wars, they have to have their famine, they have to have this and that. Like, we're not here to make their lives. They have to figure it out themselves. That's the main goal of this, is just to let them help them along if they need the help, but they can't get too much help. Stuff like that. And Druig, on their last mission, basically, Druig is just like, fucking no.
Yep.
So another main point, I would say, of this last mission throwback scene is Thena attacks the other Eternals. They said, what did they say? She had weary eye or something like that? Like, brain?
Yeah, problems. I forget what they called it.
They were just like, oh, like, you have too many, memories. Because they've been, at that point, they'd been on Earth for like 5,000 years or whatever. She's like, you have too many memories of, like, hardship and fighting and deviant stuff like that. Like, we have to reset your brain, otherwise you're just going to attack us.
Yep.
And she was like, I don't want to forget everything. And so Gilgamesh is like, I'll take care of her. Don't worry about it. I'll make sure that she's fine. We'll go live in the desert. Like, it's fine.
Which kind of sucks, but...
Yeah, but...
Gilgamesh, he can't control her.
No, Gilgamesh is the man, though. And so Ajax is like, you know what? We've killed all the deviants. There's no more deviants. We don't have to be together anymore. We could all go live our separate lives.
Yeah. So they were, like, snapping at each other. So.
Yeah. And Druig's like, all right, cool. I'm taking all these people with me. And he, really goes, he like, stops. Because they're, like, sitting above a war that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So he basically stops it, and he takes them, and he's like, if you want to stop me from taking these people and going away, you have to kill me. And they're just like, all right, just go.
Yeah.
And also during these flashbacks, Icarus and Circe get married. They were together for about 5,000 years, they said.
It's a long time.
Yeah. Before Circe explains later that he just left. Like, they broke up and because he just left.
Yep.
He does that a lot in this movie. He just kind of yeets.
Just bounces.
Yeah. So was that it? Could we move to the good present day stuff? Or did we miss anything from the past?
No, I think that's it. I mean, they go back throughout the whole movie, yeah. But that's essentially all the shit they go back to. I just
wanted to essentially get the past, you know. They come to Earth. They're the Earth's Eternals. They're very specifically the Eternals for Earth. And,
I think... I think it brings us to London.
So basically they break up and they just start living regular lives.
Yep.
Until, and then they're told that eventually when their job is done, which they think is done, they're like, why isn't our, like, why are we, they'll go back to their home world of Olympia. That's what they're told.
But they can't leave until they get told. Arishem tells them to. So they're like, we're just waiting for word to go.
Yeah. So, but that's what they've been told. They're just waiting to leave. So they just have to live lives and leave. Yeah.
Yep. That's where we are. In London, Circe and Sprite are still together.
Yeah.
And she is dating your boy, Dane Whitman, who we will probably call Jon Snow on occasion.
Yeah, probably. This is like his only scenes, so if we forget...
Yeah, he's not in it much in the beginning, but he kind of senses that something is different about her, and he asks her about it.
Yep,
he's like, "Are you like a wizard, like Doctor Strange, or something?"
And apparently, Sprite like tells him like as a joke their whole story, but he kind of believes it.
Yeah,
and then you know they're out, they're hanging out. Poor Sprite. Poor Sprite. What did she? She like turns like she illusions herself into like being older to like hit on guys at bars because she knows she doesn't age. She looks like a little kid. And
yeah, you kind of feel bad for her, but yeah. I don't. I'm the jury's out on if I like Sprite or not.
Oh, Sprite was cool.
I like the power.
Yeah.
But they're walking along the water.
Yeah. After this.
And, well, there was an earthquake earlier in the day.
Yeah.
Yes. So that kind of hinted that something was coming.
Yeah. And then, that's weird.
Yeah. So they're walking along at night. And the deviant comes out of the water. I guess the deviant had a name, Crow.
Yes. The main deviant was Crow. Didn't know this.
And... Crow comes out of the water, and these deviants are pretty fucking strong.
Yeah.
And you know, Dane Whitman is obviously shocked, because he's known none of this shit, and Sprite and Circe are like, oh, fuck. Deviants are not all destroyed.
No.
So, big fight happens. They're kind of getting their asses kicked. There's only two of them.
Because it's Circe who can just change things, and Sprite, who's an illusionist.
Yeah, they're not fighters.
They can't defeat him. They just gotta kind of get away.
And also, you know, they are, 500 years out of practice now?
Yeah, yeah.
They haven't really had a fight.
Oh.
So, they're fighting for a bit. They save some, like, pedestrians and people in London, like a bus driver. And all of a sudden, Icarus shows up again and just lays this deviant out.
Yeah.
He knocks into a building, uses his eye lasers, and And they get this one under control. And Cersei is like, oh, you're back. Thanks for leaving.
Yeah.
And Dane's like, who's this fucking
Dane
guy?
Dane Whitman's like, oh, this is the fucking ex-boyfriend, I bet.
Yep. And the one thing that they're confused about when they're when they hit the deviant is it seems to be healing itself.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, that's
new. That's never happened before.
That's new and not good. So they're like, all right, this one's under control. Cersei tells Dane, you know, just give me some time. I got to go take care of some stuff. Obviously, I'm an Eternal. Because he saw everything that happened. So can't really hide that anymore. And she's like, let me just go take care of this. And they decide to reunite all the Eternals here on Earth to take care of these deviants. So they're like, all right, let's go get Ajak, our leader, and pull the squad together. Well, apparently Ajak's in South Dakota, South randomly. Dakota. That's not where I'd choose, but
yeah, God bless. Ranch, you know?
Yeah, ranch life.
I'd go to Cody, Wyoming.
That's where you'd go?
Yeah, Cody, Wyoming's supposed to be beautiful if you want to set up a ranch.
All right. Yeah. Well, if you go there, I'll probably be in, like, I don't know, somewhere in Italy.
Okay. Can't really ranch in Italy.
No, you can't ranch in Italy. Well, they go to Ajax Ranch, and she did.
Yeah, she died.
So they believe this deviant crow came, killed her, took her healing powers, and went on over to London to fight them. So they don't really have a leader now.
No, but while this is happening, like, basically her leader ball went right into Cersei. So Cersei's
leader ball.
Yeah, I don't know what else to call it.
Yeah, it goes into Cersei, and, you know, Cersei is able to see / talk to and hear Arishem.
Yeah.
And learns about something called the Emergence, which presumably Ajak knew about.
Yes.
This whole time. And essentially, it's how a new celestial gets created.
Yeah, they put a little, you know, they create a planet, they send the Eternals there, and they put a little celestial sperm in there.
Yep.
And the guy, the celestial, is like cooking in the core of the Earth, and it needs it's complicated, the fact that it doesn't make sense why it needs the people of Earth to like just be alive and living and advanced, but it does.
Yeah,
and
I don't really.
The
get
more
that.
People and the more advanced the people get, the faster the celestial will come out, will cook and then come out.
We'll call it an energy thing.
Yeah, it's definitely based on energy and whatnot.
So yeah, so she learns about that whole process, and the deviants are here to.
Oh, she also learns the truth that she thought. You know, they think the deviants were, you know, just, you know, bad guys that accidentally were created, I guess. But no, the deviants were created first to be the Eternals, but they evolved and hated
and these new ones.
Turned into predators and the people of Earth and stuff like that. So the Celestials needed to create Eternals to defeat them, where they could. He says to Cersei, he's just like, yeah, I needed to create something that like wouldn't evolve ever.
And that's them.
And it's just like, damn, like fucking basically call me a robot over you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Eternals are here to stop the Deviants from stopping the creation of new Eternals.
Yes. New Celestials.
Yeah, Celestials, yeah. So they keep them in check. Yeah. And
they learn that they've done this. Like, they reset their mind. And that they've done this many times on many planets, where they've created a planet, created a Celestial, all the people die, and then they leave to go to another planet, get their minds wiped, and stuff like that.
Yep,
they've
which
done
is
this
kind
many,
of
they've done this many times. Okay, car. They've done this. They've done this many times. Ajak is the only person that remembers. That has like doesn't get her memory washed because she's like the leader.
That's a lot to put on her.
Yeah.
So they learn that Earth is creating Tiamat, yes. A new celestial, and just about good to go. And Earth will then be destroyed.
Yeah.
But the Eternals are like, oh, we like this place,
though. Yeah, we're like, these people are so nice.
So they
want to die.
Right. So they go and collect everyone. Gilgamesh and Thena are chilling. They go and get them.
They had a deviant made their way to them, and they killed them. And Gilgamesh was like, yeah, kind of sent her back to Crazy Town, Thena.
Yep, and Gilgamesh is just like, oh, I killed it.
Yeah.
You didn't kill the one in London? Well, why not?
They're like, well, you know, like, it healed itself and stuff like that. Like, fine, don't worry about it.
Gilgamesh is just a badass.
I loved Gilgamesh. I truly connected with him.
Yeah. They go and get Kingo, who is a Bollywood star.
Loved this scene, Kingo. Bollywood star. It's funny, too, because he's been a Bollywood star for, like, hundreds of years. And they're like, how do they not realize that you're in the movies for hundreds of years? And it's like, well, this is my great-great-grandfather, and this is my great-grandfather, and this is my grandfather, and this is my father, and this is me.
Yep.
So he's about to start playing his son, which is going to be fun.
Yeah, but now he's busy now. Yeah. Back to the Eternals. Yeah.
Because my man, whatchamacallit, my man Karun was like, you need to do this. Because he was like, yeah, you know, I need to stay on set.
And they're like, no, I'll go with you. I'll film a documentary of you guys.
Yeah, film a documentary, yeah.
So they're pretty much all united. They got Fastos. Fastos and Druig and Makari.
Yeah,
they all get together, and then they do get attacked by Crow.
The Druig scene is very long and very a lot of stuff happens in it. When they go get Druig, the Deviants find them there, like a lot of them, and they have like a big fight.
Yeah, I thought the fight scenes were a little long, some of them.
I thought the Druig one was the longest when they go to the Amazon, where he's in the Amazon.
Yeah.
You remember that? It was just kind of like, there's a lot of them, there's a lot of fighting, they're all kind of like separated.
I guess,
this is like, Gilgamesh dies, and like, I'm inconsolable in the theater, I'm like, really?
Yeah, your boy Crow kills Gilgamesh. Yeah,
takes his power. And becomes, like, sentient now. With Gilgamesh.
Yeah.
With Ajax, like, he obviously evolved a little bit, but not too much. But then when he sucks Gilgamesh's power, he becomes, like, a sentient, like, being.
Mm-hmm. And, you know what it is about the fight scenes? I think it's kind of like, this stuff looks cool, but I don't know what the phrasing I'm going here for. They don't have much finesse or, like, stylistic. Like, Iron Man, I don't know, I thought it's more fun to watch him fight than it is to watch Thena materialize a spear.
Yeah, I feel that.
And, like, Gilgamesh just punches. I mean, Makari's shit.
Makari's cool, but Makari
and Cersei is cool.
Makari wasn't in the Amazon scene, so that was kind of like,
you miss out. Yeah. Like, Cersei stuff was cool, but it didn't get really cool till later.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The fight scene's dragged.
Yeah, and this they find out. So this is they kind of dip into in the Amazon scene when they get Druig. Was that she doesn't really understand how, like, deep her powers are, because she turns a deviant into a tree.
Yeah.
Like, she was just straight, like, turning rocks into water when she could be turning deviants into, like, anything else.
Yeah. She didn't tap into her powers yet.
So they're like, really? You turned a deviant into a tree? Holy shit. Like, we could have used that 5,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, they kind of are like, okay, that's cool. You got a new power. It's cool. And then they get Fastos. And then they go to the, because they need him to get the spaceship. And he originally is like, you know, I got a husband, I got a family, I got a son, I can't go. And they're like, it was funny because they're telling him the whole story, and, you know, makes sense, right? Fastos' husband's like, hey, if you don't go and they don't win, like, we're all gonna die, like, me and me and little Jack are gonna die.
Maybe
so we should try to like stop this from happening. And he's like, okay, I guess you're right. I'll go.
Fair point.
Yeah. I was like, yeah. So they go, they get the ship, and Makari's just chilling in the ship, reading the book really fast.
Yep.
And she's like, oh, we're going home? And they're like, not quite. So that's when this movie turns into, like, second gear. I think this was, like, the end was, like, the best part of this movie.
Yeah, it picked up, definitely. Yeah.
I think it definitely kicks into gear here at this point when they get Makari and they start trying to figure out what's going on.
They know all about Tiamat.
Yeah.
And they talk about the Unimind, that whole thing.
Yeah, they send Makari to find, because the emergence starts happening while they're trying to figure this out. And they're like, all right, go find out where he's coming out of. And while she's gone, there's the big Icarus reveal. Which they show you 6 days before this. He was with Ajak. Ajak told him about the whole thing, everything, when they broke up years and years ago.
Yep.
Ajak knew that it was, you know, the emergence would be happening in 7 days or whatever. And she herself wanted to stop it. And Brian, her reason, which I loved, was that apparently the snap, not only did the snap stop, or no, it didn't stop, it set back the timeline for the emergence because half the fucking people disappeared, which I liked how they tied that in.
There's the energy thing.
The energy stuff. But then she also said, she was like, well, also, like, they brought everyone back. And, like, that's, like, some cool humanity shit. Like, how they could do that and how advanced they are. And she's like, I think these people deserve to live.
Yeah.
Agreed. I believe Spider-Man deserves to live, goddammit.
Yeah, I too feel that way.
So she's like, we gotta stop it. And Icarus is like, okay, cool, yeah, we'll stop it. But first, let me show you something. And Icarus takes her to Alaska, which I'd be like, oh, cool. Alaska's cool. But no, he shows her a bunch of deviants that had just apparently come out of an ice because of climate change. Because not all humans are great. So Glacier, apparently the deviants that have been running amok in the last week have been because there was like a glacier melted or whatever and they were stuck in there. So Ajak was just like, oh, well, fucking, why didn't you just fucking kill me yourself?
Yep.
And he was like, well, I need them to think that the deviants killed you. So, and he yeets her off the fucking cliff. She fights them a little bit, but Crow eventually comes out of his cave. And
yeah, he can only do so much.
And then he picks up her body and he brings her back to South Dakota. And he's not happy about it. He does his little, this was very Superman, by the way. He does this, like, with the laser eyes, and he like destroys like some.
Yes, that was, yeah.
That was very Superman. And by the way, we didn't mention it yet, but they mentioned Superman and Batman in this movie.
Yep, which is interesting.
Made me very uncomfortable. I don't know about anyone else. I was just like, why would they mention? Like, I get like so Marvel Comics does not exist in this world, obviously, but DC Comics does. So they're like, DC Comics are fake, but Marvel's real.
Yes.
Maybe very
cool. And also,
just in a Marvel movie, that mentioning Batman and Superman just like freaked me out.
And it's funny because like a couple days before I saw this, where they're mentioning it, I saw The Rock because they have his movie coming out. Yeah. He was like, me, Gal Gadot, and Ryan Reynolds can make a Marvel DC crossover movie happen if you want.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I do want that, but also what?
Yeah. How would that work?
Yeah. You know, it's fun to mention.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was also weird. I'm like, oh, that's all right. All right, you just mentioned Alfred? Okay.
But yeah, so he puts her back, and then we come back, and then he does his reveal to the other Eternals that he's not going to let them stop the emergence. And yes. They're like, the fuck? And he's like, yeah, man, like, I'll see you on the next planet if I don't kill you.
He's kind of like, I'm just following orders.
Yeah, he's like, no, we have to... He's like, he's very much like a, we are created to help the Celestials, not help humans on Earth. Humans on Earth are only here to help Celestials be born. That's it.
And he's, in his defense, he's right.
That is just how, that is how the world works in, like, technically in, now, if you think about it, in Marvel Universe, technically, humans mean jack shit, and they're just a ploy for Celestials to be born.
Yes.
Yeah. So. I still, you know, seeing the Celestials in this movie, and how, like, crazy big and shit they are, and, like, how powerful they are, it's like, how did that one guy, how did that one Celestial's head get cut off that became nowhere? I really want to dig more into that.
Right?
The head of Celestial, nowhere, where, the Collector was living. That was interesting.
Yeah, I want to meet it. I want to see his story.
Yeah, I want that backstory. Maybe they'll do a Marvel one shot for that. I would enjoy that. Anyway,
Sprite was cool with Icarus. She's Sprite, like, you know what, that makes sense.
So Kingo, was it Kingo or someone's like, when Sprite leaves with Icarus, they're like, I think it was Kingo. Kingo was like, oh, she left with him because she's been in love with him for thousands of years. He's like, yeah. You just you guys didn't pick up on that? So, the rest of them are still like, yeah, we have to stop this. But Kingo is like, he's like, I'm not for or against this. He's like, I would love for these people to be alive. He's like, but I don't think we're going to be able to stop this. He's like, yeah. So I'm just going to go back home and I'll see you on the next planet. And yep. They were just like, all right, Kingo, like, no hard feelings.
Fine.
But, like, shit.
Like, we could use you, but we can't force you.
Yeah, so, So Fastos is like, all right, we got one shot here, right? He's like, I'm gonna take the little knowing pull out of you, Cersei. And I think I could create the uni mind with it. But I had to take it out of you. And we're all gonna have to... do this while fighting Icarus.
Yep.
So they're like, yeah, I mean, it's our only shot, so let's do it. So he does. He creates these bracelets that create the uni mind for Cersei, Fastos, Thena, and Makari, right? Those are the ones that were left.
Yeah, I think so.
Gilgamesh
dead. Ajak dead. Yeah. Sprite and Icarus are gone. Yeah. Kingo bounced.
Yeah. So, they take the ship to the volcano where the emergence is beginning, and you see Icarus and Sprite just sitting there waiting. And Sprite does go to, she's like, you really gonna kill them? Like, he's like, well, if they try to stop the fucking emergence, I have to.
Yeah.
And so the spaceship pulls up, and he's like, all right, he's like, I'm gonna go fight them. If anyone gets close to the Celestial, you gotta stop them. And she's like, okay. And he goes into the... He does, again, very Superman. He, like, does Superman, like, crash into the spaceship, and he sees Thena there, and I thought this was, like, cool, where she's like, we about to fight, and I always wanted to fight you. And they have a cool fight. I like it. While they start trying to do the uni mind.
Yep.
Down on the... They kind of get, like... I didn't realize it in the beginning. They kind of got, like, Power Ranger kind of... uniform color thing.
Yeah. Like the green, the red, the blue.
Yeah, they were all different colors. It was kind of, I liked that.
I get the vibe.
I'm a big Power Ranger guy. And so he's fighting Icarus is fighting Thena, and they're having a good fight, and then she starts getting connected to the uni mind, and he's like, oh, I gotta get out of here. Go down there. So he does that. And he tries to stop the Unimind. Fastos has these cool, like, blaster things. Like,
Fastos is cool.
Fastos had, like, a cool final fight scene here. I was not expecting that.
He was probably my favorite, because I thought this fight started to drag a little bit. And I was like, but Fastos is cool.
Yeah, Fastos. And then, like, Makari with, like, the Flash versus Superman thing. I really like, basically. You know how much I enjoyed that in the Justice League movies. And, like, oh yeah, this is the good shit.
It's a classic question.
Makari, like, beating the shit out of Icarus was just, like, so cool.
Yes.
But eventually, he obviously, just like Superman would do, he eventually gets control. And he's about to, like, kill her, but Fastos stops him. He has, like, this cool, like, Icarus, like, he's, like, he pins, basically, Icarus down, and whatever he's doing, he can't laser eye, too, while he's in this thing.
Yeah.
So, Cersei's like, alright, I'm ahead for it. I'm ahead to do this thing. So, they have Icarus down, and she's getting up there towards the Celestial, and she sees a vision of Ajax, and she's like, immediately knows that it's Sprite making a reason. And she's like, you don't want to do this, Sprite. You and Sprite just fucking stabs her ass.
Oh.
Yeah. Or from behind.
Yeah.
And
Sprite, I was like, wow, Sprite, didn't they have it in you?
Yeah, but she does this whole, you know, this whole, I would say, like, a speech about how, you know, she never got to live like the others and how she hates it here. And
yep.
Every day, the people of Earth remind her of things that she can't have and stuff like that because she's just constantly a little girl.
Yep.
And it was very emotional and stuff like that. And then Druid just fucking kills her.
Yeah.
He doesn't kill her, but he knocks her out
with a rock.
Knocks her out with a rock. And they find, basically, you know, she gets on the hand. Cersei gets on the hand of the Celestial. He's coming out. Crazy.
Yeah, like, pretty terrifying.
That was pretty terrifying, honestly. And they uni-mind, and...
Who knew Cersei was this strong?
Yes, and then Icarus tries to stop her, but he looks at her while they're on the hand, and he, like, flashbacks to their wedding and stuff like that, blah, 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 blah. Instead of, he can't kill her. So he actually, I feel like, accidentally joins the Uni-Mind. I don't think he was planning on joining the
Uni-Mind. Yeah. Probably, like, subconsciously.
Yeah, subconsciously joins the Uni-Mind. She gets enough power to freeze the Celestial, kill the Celestial, dead in his tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. They win. They did what they had to do. They stopped the emergence. The Celestial will no longer be emerging from the center of the Earth, killing everyone. And
it's just kind of frozen there.
Yeah, and Icarus is just like, fuck, I fucked up bad. And they, like, share, like, a moment, and then he kills himself.
Yep, he goes right to the sun.
He's just like, he could not live knowing that he fucked up the emergence.
Mm-hmm.
And then we basically have an epilogue. Cersei turns Sprite into a human. She's no longer an Eternal. She wants to live a regular life.
Yep.
And Cersei's like, you know, like, you'll eventually grow old and die. Like, you know, is that something you want? And she's just like, yes. And honestly, if you've lived 7,000 years.
Yeah, what's the excitement of living anymore?
Yeah, like, listen, I'll do another, like, 60, and then I'll dip. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, and it's 60 different years, because she has to be an adult and stuff.
Yeah, she gotta go to school. The king goes, Kingo and Karun are, like, dropping her off at school. He's like, I can't believe you're going to school.
Yep.
He's like, you little weirdo. He's like, maybe you learn some social skills. So, you know, Kingo and Cersei are dropping off Sprite. They're like, keep in touch, please. Like, we want to know how you... Basically, like, we want to know how you end up growing up, you know.
Please, yeah, let us know.
Keep in touch, please. And then Dane Whitman shows up again for the first time since the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Yep.
And she's basically breaking up with him. She's like, you know, like... I can't, like, pretend not... She says, like, I can't pretend to be human anymore. And he's like, well, listen, I'm weird, too. And then as that's happening, like, everyone just gets to see Arishem's face in the sky, and that, I would die. I would literally die. Arishem is just like, y'all fucked up!
He's right.
And he takes Fastos, Cersei, and Kingo, right?
Yes.
Because... We missed this. Druig, Makari, and Thena got on the ship. They're planning to meet other Eternals. They're like, we gotta meet other Eternals. We gotta tell them what's happening, and potentially stop. They're like, yo, they're basically on, like, an Eternal killing quest. I think they don't want not Eternal, a Celestial Killing Quest.
Celestial, yeah, they want more.
They're like, we don't want these worlds to keep blowing up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so they're gone, but still on Earth. And I guess Arishem, like, can only see them if they're on Earth. I don't know. So he takes the three and he's like, listen, you killed my boy, the Celestial. That was some fucked up shit. He's like, but now I'm going to judge the people of Earth to see if they deserve to live or whatever. Yep. And he's like, y'all coming with me. So he takes them and they disappear. And apparently there will be a judgment on Earth by Arishem soon, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what
that'll be interesting. And Dane Whitman is just standing there, and he's like, what the fuck just happened? And that's how the movie ends. So,
yep. It was a wild ending.
It was a wild ending. Very much like a, I would say like the last, like, I don't know how long it was, battle slash epilogue kind of. But I'd say the last like maybe 30 to 40 minutes of the movie was like banging. I really liked the end. I really liked how they ended it. It makes you want more. At least for me, I was like, at least I'm interested. And they kind of cut out some of like Sprite's a human, you know, Ajak and Gilgamesh died. So like, you know, we're already down to only a few of them left.
Which is better. Ten was a lot.
10 was a lot, exactly. So I kind of like where they were headed. And they didn't, I mean, they killed Gilgamesh, but a lot of good characters still. Icarus yeeted himself.
Yep.
But then we had after credit scene, Brian, and both of these were top-notch after credit scenes, I would say.
Yeah.
First one was Makari, Druig, and Athena being like, where are they? Like, we're supposed to meet up by now. And they're like, it's just like they disappeared. And then we got a teleportation of Pip the Troll.
Little weird guy.
Little weird Pip the Troll. And he does a little entrance for Star Fox, Eros, the Prince of Titan, Thanos' brother. Makari goes, Thanos' brother? And it was Eros, Star Fox, played by fucking Harry Styles, Brian.
Yeah, left field.
Right out of left field. There were rumors about this, like, a week before the premiere. And then it got spoiled. Like, people who went to see the premiere were like, holy shit, it really was Harry Styles.
Yep.
And man, like, he was cool. He was like, listen, I'm about to help you guys. I know where they are, and we can go find them.
Yeah.
And he's like, I know where your friends are, and we can go get them. And I was like, holy shit.
So I saw people don't like Star Fox, but I think the MCU writers are rewriting him.
Yeah, so apparently he's problematic in the comics. Like,
people hate him. Top five worst Avengers characters.
So apparently what I've been reading and seeing is that, like, the comic writers, you know, from back in the day, obviously this is from a long time ago, they kind of made him, like, a sexual predator? Like, he would basically just, like, because his powers are, like, he can make people do things. Kind of like Kilgrave.
Yes.
And basically, instead of, like, using that for good, he would be, like, just to fuck women. Like,
yep.
It would be, like that's how he used his powers for the most part. And they say, like, in canon and Marvel Comics, like, he kind of fucked with Thanos growing up, like, you know, as kids or whatever.
Yeah.
Which kind of made him Thanos. So, yeah, apparently
his wiki describes him as a weirdo in the streets and a creep in the sheets.
Yes. So, you know, I don't think that that'll be how they use him in the MCU at all. I'm sure he'll be like, oh, it's because they fucking cast Harry Styles. They're going to be like, oh, shit, he's beautiful, right? Like,
he'll be a womanizer, but he won't be a creep.
Yes, exactly.
I think that's what they'll do.
Yes, I think so as well.
Or not and a manizer. He'll just, I think he'll go whoever he wants to go with.
Yes.
That's the route they'll take.
Yes. And then we had a second one, which was really, really cool. We got Dane Whitman and his family's heirloom room. I don't know.
Yeah.
And he opens it up, and there's the fucking ebony blade, which they mentioned earlier in the movie. At one point, Makari asks Athena if she's practicing with the ebony blade, and she goes, no, it's Excalibur. And there's the fucking ebony blade. And he's about to touch it and become the Black Knight. And you hear a voice. And the voice is like, ah, sure you want to do that, bud? basically. And everyone's like, "Oh, you don't see a fade. You see just see Dane Whitman. He turns and he's like, what?" And then it ends. And then they say the Eternals will return, which is good. But people are like, who the fuck was that? And then we had Chloe Zhao and Kevin Feige all confirm that that indeed was the voice of Mahershala Ali as Blade.
Hell yeah.
Talking to Dane Whitman. And me and Brian looked it up last night, and they have worked together before in comics.
Yep.
So it makes sense, and it works. And yeah, we finally got a little Blade action. I'm shocked they didn't announce a Blade movie right after this.
Oh, the show that would have been cool.
Yeah. But yeah, that was the movie. Ends really cool. Like I said, 34 minutes. Last 34 minutes, pretty dope.
Yeah, those and the post credit scenes were like stuff to talk about.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was the movie. Crazy.
It's Eternals.
Are you now excited for Blade?
Yes, more than Eternals 2.
Okay. Oh, don't tell it to Catherine. Catherine couldn't be more excited about Eternals 2 with Harry Styles.
Maybe we'll see him elsewhere before then.
Catherine's like, well, listen, he could be in Eternals 2, but they also need to make an Eros. She's all about the name Eros. She's like, we need an Eros movie. We need his backstory. We need to learn more about Eros.
Unlikely, but hey, I'll see it if they do it.
Yeah. But that's her dream. But yeah, I assume first they'll bring him back in Eternals 2 before they spin him off.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's just like Eternals 2 is so far. I could see him making another post-credit appearance or something.
Yeah, man. I mean, I feel like Marvel really should be announcing like those 2023, 2024 movies anytime now.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what's coming up after the next batch. I know you're going to say, Anthony, let's watch the next batch first. I was like, I like to look forward to things. So.
I like it too, because like DC's giving us nothing and we all want it.
Yeah, DC again. They need a next batch of announcements too. Like, come on.
Yep.
Especially DC, like, at least I believe the first half of Marvel has 2023. Like, DC has nothing past next year announced, and that's kind of annoying.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, Brian, before we leave, we have to rate this movie. I think we nailed it when we pre-talked about it, when it was kind of getting, like, I wouldn't say shit reviews, but it was getting, like, it's okay from, like, Marvel, like, influencers on, like, TikTok and Twitter and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think Brian texted me, and he's like, listen, this is my prediction. He goes, it's going to be, like, a 6 out of 10. It's going to be enjoyable. It's not going to be the worst movie in the franchise. And just because it's like a mid to low mid-tier movie, it's going to get bad reviews. It's getting these bad reviews. Yeah. And I think that's nailed.
Yep.
I think it's a standard fare. I think it's mid-tier of the 26, maybe lower mid-tier. I did enjoy the ending. I definitely put it above a couple of movies, right?
Yeah,
in the franchise, so I don't think it's like by far. Like if you look at Rotten Tomatoes, it's by far the worst movie, but it's not.
No, I'll do a full listing tonight for no real reason.
And basically, yeah, I'll go 6 out of 10. I think it's just good enough to be a good score. It wasn't great. It wasn't horrible. End was cool. A lot of exposition. A lot of story.
A lot,
and it wasn't super interesting.
That's the issue. Like,
yeah,
other movies like Thor, like Iron Man, blah blah blah.
And we just saw Shang-Chi. Like the whole story, the whole everything was top tier. Like the
I mean, it's kind of like other movies had origin stories, and they did them pretty well because it was one person. They tried to like give origins for 10 people, but like just a little bit here and there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we didn't go into it here because it's not podcast friendly, but the way the movie's done, it goes back and forth between present day and old time. And that was just, I'll call it annoying. It wasn't confusing.
Yeah.
It was more annoying than anything else.
It confused Catherine a little bit. She was like, it was a little much going back and forth.
Some of it was. Yeah, it got to be a lot. If they did it twice, that's one thing. They did it like 5 times or so. And the fight scenes, like, I was like, oh, these are fucking Eternals and Celestials.
Yeah.
We're seeing some cool shit here.
No.
Eh.
The coolest was when they were fighting Icarus at the Emergence. That was the coolest fight in the movie.
Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah. Like with Makari fighting Icarus and Phastos fighting Icarus and all that stuff. I enjoyed that, the hand-to-hand with Athena and Icarus. I thought that was the coolest I think it's because it was more like superpower people going against superpower people rather than like, you know, big deviants against these Celestials, right. You know, which was basically what it just was before that.
Right.
I think the Amazon scene was good when they get Druig, but it wasn't
cool. Yeah,
the
fight scenes were good. It's just
I think
they were long. Yeah, I think that's what it was.
I think the Amazon scene was too long. There was a lot of stuff going on there. It was just a lot. And then the fight was good. It was okay. You learn about Cersei's power and stuff like that. But like, yeah, it was a little too long there. And again, I agree. Thinking about it, the Eternals versus Deviants fight scenes are not like top tier MCU shit. Like, you've seen so much cool shit.
Right.
Like, just an Eternal fighting a Deviant is not, it's not going to get me Randy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why when they did the Icarus fight at the end, I was like, this is cool! You know? I was like, fuck!
Yeah, that was finally some cool stuff at the end.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I thought the end was like the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
And not because it was ending. I thought it was just a really good, I thought it was a good wrap-up.
Right.
It was a good wrap-up.
The
stakes were really high for like a like origin movie.
Yes.
Literally, if they do not succeed, literally everything you've ever seen is done.
Yep.
Like,
wild. Exactly.
Yeah, wild. But yeah, I gave it 6 out of 10. What about you, Brian? 6 out of 10?
Yeah, I'm in there also. Yeah. I was like 6.5 maybe, yeah, but like when the thought of 7 entered my head, I was like, oh. Yeah,
it's a 6.
Would not turn this on TV.
It's just I would turn on if it was the end.
Dude, yeah.
I would fall asleep in the beginning.
There's so many just dull
this
scenes.
Is 100%. If this was on FX or TBS or whatever, I would not turn this on. No.
It's a lot of dull scenes.
It's, you would have to be like, oh, it's the end of the Eternals on FX. Okay,
let me
turn it on.
Or like the middle
honestly,
of a fight
if I just
scene,
had it on in the background, like, I'd probably fall asleep. There's not a lot going on.
If it's in the middle, I'd be like, okay, cool, I'll watch this fight scene.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Yeah, it's definitely just like a world building movie, which is cool, new characters. And I definitely did get like Guardian vibes from the fact that like, I don't think that the Eternals will meet the Avengers for a very long time. Kind of like, you know, Guardians never met the Avengers for a very long time. They were just always kind of doing their own thing. I think that's definitely going to be a thing. I think the Eternals are supposed to be like the new Guardians, I think. Like, where it's like, oh, in 5 years when fucking Captain America meets Thena and Star Fox, it's going to be crazy, right? I think that's like what they're kind of going for with this. Because they kind of like to set up those two. They kind of like to set up those two different worlds. And now that, like, you know, Thor is with the Guardians of the Galaxy, and the Guardians of the Galaxy are like, they know about Earth and all the Avengers and stuff like that. It's kind of, they're like just part of it now. And I think they do want those two separate, like, okay, these are the Eternals and these are the Avengers. And one day they'll get together. And it'll be crazy.
Yeah.
That's what they're going for here. So,
but I'm okay with them keeping it separate for now.
Yeah, I think it's a good formula, too. Cause come on, when the Guardians meet Thor in Infinity War, it's like crazy, right? And then when they meet Iron Man, it's like, oh, this is fun and crazy. Like,
yeah, they're doing that again. They want to keep it separate.
Yeah, when Kingo meets fucking, I don't know, who's in a fucking Avenger now? Fucking the Hulk, I don't know. It's gonna be wild.
Be like, oh, look at these two. Look at our friends.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy. I like that. It's smart. But with that said, let's get out of here. Let's enjoy your daylight savings time. Hope you got your extra hour of sleep. I don't think we'll be back next week because I have a weekend next week. I have work. And we don't have anything to cover yet. We'll tweet about when we're going to come back.
We'll
I figure
posted.
We'll come back before Spider-Man, but I don't know. We'll do something. Well, we got a couple weeks. The 24th is Hawkeye, right?
Yes.
So we got a week. We could do maybe the week before that with something, but it would just be a one-off. So maybe we'll just come back for Hawkeye in 2 weeks.
That sounds right.
That does sound right. Yeah, let's just say that. Let's just come back for Hawkeye in 2 weeks. Christmas is here. Hawkeye is here. Get ready for that. The best Christmas show of all time. Hawkeye. So let's just call it that. 2 weeks, the 29th, we'll be back with Hawkeye. With that said, Follow us on Twitter at InfinityBoxRW on Twitter. We do all the tweets. Enjoy, you know. Also on that episode, we'll talk about the beginning of Wheel of Time. Wheel of Time will happen the week before that.
Oh, yeah, 19th.
So that'll be fun. We'll talk about that, too, on that episode. So start watching that. Wheel of Time on Amazon Prime. We'll be tweeting about it. We'll be tweeting about Dexter this tonight, maybe, probably. That'll be cool.
Yeah, I'll tweet out if I'm watching it.
November is a big TV show month. Do they have a release date for Sandman yet or no?
Not yet.
So I figure maybe early next year, probably.
They said November.
Did they say November?
But I haven't heard anything in months.
Yeah, that's weird.
I don't know.
Yeah. Whatever. Wheel of Time, Dexter, Hawkeye, that's all coming out this month, so that's going to be cool. Yep. So we'll stay tuned with that. We'll see you all on the 29th of November for Hawkeye Wheel of Time discussion. That'll be cool. Remember, at InfinityBoxRW on Twitter. Follow my wrestling podcast, at TIR Wrestling on Twitter. I'm not on this week's episode? No, I'm not. Check that out, though. They do a lot of, there's a lot of stuff to talk about in the wrestling world. So, yeah, without further ado, we'll see you in a couple weeks, 3 weeks' time. We love you, Brian. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.